Hi, Steve here, and welcome to the podcast for Alpaca People. You're in the right place. So good to see you again. And this episode in particular is for my friend Jung. Have a good day. Take care, my friend. I've learned a lot from keeping alpacas. I've learned a lot about alpacas. I've learned a lot about how to do things. I've learned a lot about myself, how I feel, how I approach things, how I feel nervous about things, where I don't have self-confidence, where I have too much self-confidence, where I have a responsibility I need to step in. I can't not deal with this. And also recognizing when I'm out of my depth. So some of it's comfortable, some of it's not so comfortable. All of it is good and valuable. So I've learned a lot keeping alpacas. And some of the things about the alpacas and about myself are external things. Things, how to do things, how to approach doing things, the practical stuff, the outside stuff. But I've also learned there's some inside stuff going on. And when I watch alpacas, when I spend time with my alpacas, you know I keep telling you to do that. If you can, go spend some time with your alpacas. Be around them. One of the things that happens is you become more alpaca. Now, way back, not quite 4 years, but getting on, 3.5 years, it was November in 2020. And I did an episode called Be More Alpaca. Well, this is another one of those, but it's a Be Even More Alpaca. So if you want to get the things I talked about before, then go back. I might touch on some of those things in a slightly different way, but essentially, this is a different episode, I think. Who knows? We shall see. You can be the judge. You'll have to compare the two. So, be more alpaca. I'm not suggesting that you grow fleece or your ears get longer so you can be more expressive with your body language. They're the external things, and you can't do that. You don't need to do that. But there are some things that are inside, things that it's the way that alpacas are. It's the way they behave. It's the way they live. And there are things that we can learn from them, I think. And the first thing I've noticed is they're peaceful. Peaceful to be around. Peaceful generally in their demeanor. Now, of course, you could take issue with me straight away, couldn't you, when you think about the boys fighting and think about the girls getting stroppy over their food. Generally, alpacas are peaceful. They have a natural pace, which is more measured and is slower. They're not slow animals. They can run very fast, as I found to my cost when I tried to get ahead of them. But also, they have a natural rhythm, which is much slower. And it's nice to be around. And it slows me down. And I find that if I can come into step with their rhythm, that actually I function slightly better. So be more alpaca. Be aware of their peaceful nature. Can you be more peaceful in the way you approach things? Can you have more rhythm to your life? I think probably I would describe them as being gentle, yet assertive. I think that's a good way to be, to have a gentleness about us, generally. But where necessary, then we can be assertive. Which leads into the second area, being protective. They are protective. They're protective of each other. They're protective of the young. They will object and they will get involved. There's a trust that builds up over time, which kind of changes the dimension slightly. They threaten quite a lot when I'm trying to do things with their career, with their babies, with their youngsters. This is a problem because it's not much fun having an ear full of green spit in your, because you're doing something to one of the youngsters. But there are things that need to be done. But I've found over time they learn to trust me and they don't just react. But they do give a little warning. So there's an assertiveness about them. But yet, they're gentle. but they're protective of the young, protective of each other. If as has happened just this week, a piece of bramble gets stuck in the fleece of one of them, oh, goodness me, poor old Lily. She hates flies. She's complaining at the moment. We've got a lot of little white flies in the air. And she managed to pick up this amazing piece of bramble, but it got really tangled in the fleece of her tail. Now, I've left her tail long. I haven't sheared her tail close. It's got quite a lot of fleece on it because she can swish with it. It helps her keep the flies away a bit. Only a little, I know, but every little helps. So this was tangled in there, and I had to really work hard to kind of try and get it back. And I'm holding on to her tail. I'm trying to pull this thing. It is really stuck. Normally it just comes free, but no, this was really stuck. So I had to hold her, trying to stop her, trying to pull away from me. I'm not trying to pull her tail to hurt. I was going to hurt. I can't, I don't want to do that. But the others who were around, they weren't too sure what I was up to. And I was following behind her, and they felt, this is not appropriate behavior. You're attacking her in some way. So they were starting to get a bit disturbed and a bit threatening towards me because they were gentle animals? No, because they're protective. You can be more than one thing at a time, sometimes at the same time, but certainly you can express these different aspects. And I think we all do. But there's a general disposition that they have, which is gentle. They're also protective. That's a general disposition. And I think that's a good thing. We should be protective of those who need protection. Yeah. The next one that kind of rolls on from that is that they're noticing things. They're very good at noticing things. If we're going to be more alpaca, we need to have that awareness. It's the seeing out of the corner of your eye. It's the hearing the noises and going, oh, it's interesting. What was that? Does that need reaction? Does that need a response? What's going on there? So there's all those kind of peripheral things for all the senses, which I've learned over time of keeping the alpacas. I get maybe it was there to some extent, but underdeveloped, I think. Certainly those things have developed more. I have experienced noticing and seeing things, I think, as a result of keeping alpacas. They taught me that. It's something they do. They're noticing all the time. There's not much that gets past them at all. They're noticing movements. They're noticing threats. They're noticing what is happening, and they're noticing who's moving to the food. A lovely picture. I'll share it on the website. It won't appear in the episode notes, but it'll be on the website. So it's alpacatribe.com. There's a lovely picture of Owena, who is stood there. She knows where I go to get the food. She knows how I get in there. And there's a lovely picture of her with nose to the door, right next to the bolt that keeps the door closed. And I'm thinking, yeah, you would if you could, wouldn't you? You'd open that if she could only work out how to use a bolt. I hope she doesn't. I used to worry when we had people come and visit the farm. I used to worry they would gather around the car, and quite a number of them would be staring in the windows of this car. And I'm thinking they're just checking to see if the keys are there and if they can drive off in this thing. It wouldn't surprise me at all. Super inquisitive. That's another thing. I mentioned that on the first episode about Be More Alpaca. But this is noticing things. They notice when alpacas start to drift. You know, there's some of them start to move back for the food, or it's that time of day, or just let's go over here and there's some nice grass, or it's a bit windy, let's move into this sheltered spot. They're aware of each other. They notice things, and they'll move over in that direction. A drift of animals will start to take place. That's interesting. What do you notice around you? Other people around you? Do you notice what's going on? If one of them is a bit off, the others seem to notice. They seem to be aware of those things. And related to the protective bit and the noticing things, they do pick up on movements and potential threats. they all kind of charged up out of the... I was busy feeding them down in the stable, and they all charged up out of that to the gate and a bit beyond because Sue was coming the other way and she disturbed the cat. We've got a cat that's around, not our cat. It's just a cat that's around, and we don't see it all the time, but it was there, and it suddenly, oh, got to run. So it ran, and they all ran up to see this thing off. I don't think this poor little cat was much of a threat, but they were concerned. They need to go chase this thing. So they will notice things like that. And you get the alarm cries, and sometimes the one of them, that's their role. They're the ones who are on alert, and they'll do the alarm cry, and everyone else bunches up as a group. They gather, and when they have youngsters, then they'll protect the youngsters in the middle of the group. They form a wedge, and the youngsters are right in the middle. It's clever stuff. They're connected. They do like to be together. They like to at least be able to see each other. They want to be together. But they're also happy with some alone time, being slightly on the edge and being slightly further away. I'm sorry, I'm over here. I'm going to do my own thing. That's fine. But they like to be still connected, still around where the others are. I'm always amazed in the stable. And when I go down in the morning, it's same with the boys in the field shelter. It doesn't feel like it's big enough for the numbers of them. And they get in there and they sit down, but they do this out in the field as well. They'll sit next to each other and they'll kutch up. Kutch is a lovely Welsh word. Kutch. Kutch. Not kush. That's a different, that's a word about alpacas, but kutch is a Welsh word. And it's what you do with a baby. It's what you do when you get up close and you kind of snuggle together. That's a kutch. You give the baby a kutch. You give the youngster a kutch. So they do that. They get up close to each other and they'll sit down, and sometimes they'll be really so close they're touching. That's usually a family relationship, mother daughter, or you know, somebody who's pretty close. But they also will sit next to their friends. Quotes. Did you see me do the air quotes there? Friends. But they do have animals in the group, in the herd, that they get on better with than others. I think that's probably normal. But you need to find those people and connect with them. Your people. Who are your people? Who are you going to sit next to? Who are you going to catch up next to? Who are you happy to and comfortable to be around? And that's a good way to be more alpaca. So they're there. They'll sit next to each other. And fourth and final area, they're readers. It's all connected to the noticing things. They're readers. Readers of each other. Readers of situations. They're readers of me. What's he like today? Is he in a hurry? Why is he paying attention to? Oh, it was delightful this morning. Over breakfast, I was putting the food out and was moving around backwards and forwards. I have to kind of squeeze past them now because they don't get out of my way. It's lovely. I think that's a good thing. But sometimes it's, you know, I'm going backwards and forwards with the bucket to top up the next bit, but I've got to squeeze past the ones that are in the way. But that means they're relaxed and they trust me, which is so nice. It takes time to do that. You know, you've got to build that level of trust and that level of relationship over time. Don't blur the boundaries though, but do develop those kind of trusting relationships. And I saw Pearl. She just happened to be there right next to where I was. And so I was talking to her and there was this immediate, oh no, you noticed me. And the ears went back and there was a little worried look. And so I just kind of gently tilted my head and on one side and also down a bit and carried on talking gently to her. And they understand, even though they don't understand the words, they understand the intention. And so she kind of leant towards me, but oh no, I'm off. I don't like to be noticed. She's kind of in the middle somewhere most of the time, and she doesn't stand out. There are always some alpacas like that, and there's people like that as well. You can think of them, can't you? There are people who are kind of in the middle. They don't stand out, but they're faithfully there. They're part of things. And so I noticed her today, little Pearl with the lovely, lovely ears. And that kind of, the others read that. They understand. Generally, they give space to each other, I think. So reading the people around us. We don't have to work on the angle of the ears and the tail and the head and all that kind of stuff. We've got a different set of body language, haven't we, for people. You do have to understand those things for alpacas, though, the ears and the tail and the sounds that they make when they're about to spit. Once heard, never forgotten. Oh, yes, you can hear them loading up. And you go, yep, okay, let's talk nicely to them. Let's move away. Let's face the other direction. Let's turn side on rather than full front towards them because that feels more threatening. Don't look them in the eye at this point. No, you can't get away with looking in the eye. Don't look them in the face. Don't look nose to nose with them because you are going to get spat at. If they've loaded up, they are enough upset that they will discharge their mouthful in your direction. So, yeah, reading alpacas, reading people. Alpacas are good readers. I think they understand what's going on. They understand the dynamics. They will give each other space when that's needed. And I guess we need to do that too. How are you doing today? So my encouragement is to slow down. Slow down and be more alpaca. Take on some of these things. Spend time around your alpacas and you'll learn things, that's for sure. And some of those things you can apply in other parts of your life as well. So peacefulness, being protective of those who need protecting, noticing things that are around, being readers of others, of situations, etc. Be more alpaca. And I've got some exciting news for you, which is related. Be More Poet. Be More Poet is the new podcast that Sue, my wife, has just released. So it's available in all the usual places, wherever you get your podcasts. Be More Poet.
Pause. See differently. Restory. Welcome to my new podcast, Be More Poet, where we explore a different way of seeing from a little valley in southwest Wales. Join me, Sue Hetherington, and my occasional guests every Friday from wherever you listen to podcasts.
There'll be a link in the episode notes. And in addition to that, she's done a reading of her book, Quiet Disruptors. Check them both out wherever you get your podcasts. So if you can, go spend some time with your alpacas. And breathe. Have a good day. See you again soon. This is the Alpaca Tribe, and I'm Steve Hetherington. Have a great day.